welcome back to the Tales from the Walking Trails, Walking Ibiza podcast. And today we are celebrating a very special birthday, which is, of course, the 10th anniversary of Toby Clark's creation, this walking outfit that has traversed the length and breadth of Ibiza many times over. We worked out it's approximately 60,000 kilometres that have been walked over those 10 years, which is roughly 230 times around the entire island. Now, he's doing 10 walks over 2 days to celebrate this amazing milestone. And yesterday we had part one of the walks and a beautiful lunch at Cancidas. And today we're going to be back in action on round two. Never one to just do things by halves and do one day. He's gone for the full milking it mode, which, you know, is very apt if you know Toby through the course of this podcast and obviously from being on his community winter walkies. So today we are in, as you can probably hear behind me, on the beach next to the sound of the lapping waves in Cala San Vicente. And I do believe he's actually managed to swing it and get them to open Tanit's Cave, especially for today's walkers. So we're going to be heading up there shortly. I'm just literally standing on the sand, admiring the fact that there's actually nobody here at all on the beach this morning. It's completely dead. There's no sun loungers. The hotels look very, very closed indeed. And it's just absolutely gorgeous. The weather doesn't feel like winter in the slightest. I would say we are just in for one of those gorgeous Indian summers. It's just the gift that keeps on giving this October. So I'm going to wander over now. He's got a nice big group within the guidelines and limits, of course, joining together today to celebrate the 10th anniversary walk. And yeah, very excited to meet the crew that he's got joining us for this very special birthday edition of the Walking Ibiza 10th anniversary walks. But I thought before we go and meet the group on today's walk, we just get a little word from some of the people that have walked with Walking Ibiza over the course of the last 10 years to contribute a little something. They've all sent in a few little messages of appreciation, and also I caught up with some of the walkers that were on yesterday's walk down to Bill's Gate and a few other walks besides over lunch. So I'm very, very happy to bring you some of those little memories and snippets before we catch up with Toby.
So I've got many, many happy memories of my incredible Around the Island with Toby and my group. But I think my fondest is probably after a good day's walk, sitting in front of the mesmerising campfire and sharing hopes, dreams and possibilities with the most incredible group of people. And I think about that moment very, very often when I'm in a slightly grey London. But it was the most incredible experience, and I have so many beautiful memories.
Funny, but it's true. What loneliness can do. Since I've been away, I have loved you more each day, walking back to happiness. Whoop-ah, oh yeah.
Walking Ibiza 10 years. Wow, 10 years. Well done, Toby. It's really wonderful. Congratulations on your achievement and your 10 year anniversary. And we have to say thank you for creating such a wonderful company that we've all had opportunity to enjoy such amazing adventures and exploring beautiful Ibiza over these years. I myself have so many memories from different community walks, private walks with our clients, the Around the Island adventures. The 4-day adventures were incredible, and two of those, and also two Around Island walks with you, which are really quite special. Some of the best times of my life, to be honest.
I laid aside foolish pride, learned the truth from tears I cried. Spread the news, I'm on my way. Whoop-ah, oh yeah.
And of course, in all those trips, it's not just walking. I think I've loved the walking, the hiking, climbing, kayaking, laughing, smiling. It's just a lot of fun.
Happy anniversary, Toby. A lot has happened since that infamous trip with just the euro in your pocket. And thank you for bringing this experience to us all. I had the privilege to be part of the very first one you did when you started to take people with you. And yes, for that reason, never forget, we will forever be the OGs. There are many moments that I fondly remember from that amazing experience, but one of the highlights has to be the night we spent overlooking Es Vedrà. Something I've always wanted to do, and walking Ibiza made it possible for me. So if you love Ibiza, if you want to learn and see more about this wonderful island, don't think twice and try to join the next tour. It confirmed how much I loved Ibiza already and made me love it even more, to the point that now has become my home. So yes, in a way, walking Ibiza did change my life. To another 10 and more of these days. Enhorabuena.
Yes, as we know, I have been among the chosen people who have been one of the first people to walk with Toby around the island 10 years ago. So yes, I feel legitimized to speak on this subject, authorized. So what do I remember most fondly? What I remember is when Toby explained the plans along the way of the track. So that was very special and interesting to me. I remember he explained, for example, that if you cook the pine needles, you will get, they are very potent in vitamin C. So I remembered that, and there have been many times on Ibiza when I would stumble out of space or amnesia in the early morning hours in desperate need of a vitamin C infusion for my dehydrated body. And I would cook up a bunch of pine needles in the parking lot of space or amnesia, and in order to keep going for Papa's after hour later. And that always worked. Another thing that I remember is Toby also explained that there is a certain leaf of these plants that you can use as toilet paper, no shit. And I never quite understood it, what exactly. It was a tiny little piece of leaf that he described. But yes, according to Toby, you can use it as toilet paper. And I was too shy to speak up at this point and ask for details. And then I felt the moment had passed later. But this has stayed with me, and I think about it often. So yes, happy 10th anniversary. And I hope we will walk together again very soon. All the best.
So we're with one of our favourite Walking Ibiza guests. Haven't seen him for absolutely donkey's years. We welcome to today's podcast,
Donkey
Mitch.
Years. My dad's got a donkey sanctuary. Are you crazy? Yes, how are you? Now listen, let me tell you something interesting. Around just before 10 years ago, I'm in a villa party somewhere up here, and I bump into Tony and his wonderful wife.
Tony?
Toby and his wonderful wife. I just bought an iPad. It was more or less out the box. And I was just kind of showing it off, you know, all the stargazing and this type of shit. And we're talking. And he tells me this story about, like, his passion is walking. And I said, I'll come on a walk with you. So I used to run, like, the marathon. So we pick up this iPad and we scroll through. You hear. And about, like, today, we find this date. We hit the button. And it was me, Samir, Charlie Chester, Gay Johnny and Toby. And we did the first ever walk. It was amazing. And I remember after the walk, I was quite tired. It was in Cala Vincenti. We went to Commedia San Juan, I think, and got quite drunk. And that was it. And then I did more or less every walk up until about 3 years ago. But now I'm doing a slightly different thing on the beach. It's really good. Thank you, Toby.
So, with Mr. Charlie Chester of Essential Ibiza, how are you, sir?
I'm all right. I'm absolutely shattered.
Was that from the big 10th anniversary walk that you just completed at Bill's Gate?
Yeah, I have done that. Funny enough, I did it with Toby on our own about a week after lockdown. So it's quite a monumental walk for us, really, because it's just like coming out of that lockdown, although I was walking every day in Santa Catruda, so I was like, Toby, this is going to be really good. You know, just getting back to just to walking, just getting back to something normal, right? At the back end of nearly two months inside. You know, it's like a prison sentence. So yeah, today, yeah, pretty mad. But bar the coast with the coast guards and everything. So yeah, no, great walk.
Wouldn't be a walking Ibiza walk without a little bit of drama though.
Yeah, but that having to call the Coast Guard out was a bit bizarre. But yeah, it's all right. It was my mate, one of my best friends who I went to school with, primary school. So I've known him since he was four, and his son just went over. He didn't go all the way, we caught him. So it was really scary, really worrying for about 2 minutes. And that was the only way to get him out, was a Coast Guard. So, wow. 10th anniversary drama.
Apart from the drama, though, like, what is it that always brings you back to walking with Toby?
Well, it's just a community vibe, isn't it? You know, you might meet some people you might not want to walk with. They might bore the tits out of you, but you normally always meet nice people. So go on your own walks, and a lot of walks of splinter. There's a lot of splinter walks, isn't there? You know, people, and that's fine. People doing their own walks because they're just 10 friends, but you're just walking with 10 friends again, aren't you? You know, and I walk with my friends, and I walk my own a lot. And to be honest with you, I was walking 4 or 5 hours a day in the lockdown. I hate that word; does my head in. And it was therapeutic, but it's nice. And I was doing it with my dog the whole time, 4 hours a day. One day I did 6 hours, but it's not the same as this because it's a little vibe, isn't it? We did the first walk. Me, Mitch, Samir. I can't even remember the other two. I think there was two other guys and Toby. So we did that in Cala Vincent. You know, just a few of us, and then before you know it, you're hearing that his walks have gone to 30 people and 60 people and too many people and 3 walks a day. And you know, I've still been doing them, but I can't do them all the time. You're like, whoa, what's going on? And you know, and then obviously you did the walk with Billy and that.
Well, I walked over the bridge into the city where I live, and I saw my old landlord.
But this new walk, this walk he's going to do every Saturday, I've just said to him, I'll come next week. I'm definitely going to do that and see what happens then.
Doing the round the island in bite-sized chunks.
Yeah. No, that... I tell you, to be honest with you as well, I'm not... It's not... I couldn't take 10 days off of my life just to be... And I'm not sure I want to be sleeping in a tent.
Maybe that's why you should do it.
Oh, it's not me. It's not me.
Well, it wasn't me either, but I absolutely loved it.
Yeah, no, I bet it would be, but it's just, you know, wife, kid... And so yeah, perfect. I'm gonna do the first one next week and see how we go. 9 till 6 in the afternoon, in the evening. Yeah, we'll do that.
What's your best walking Ibiza memory? What's the one sort of story that stands out over those 10 years of trips that you've taken or experiences that you've had together with walking Ibiza?
The first one and this one.
What happened on that night when you created the first walks with Toby, with Samir and Mitch?
Well, we just did the walk. We didn't even know what we were doing, actually. I remember going to San Vicente. I'd only really been up there once before, and I never knew the coastline was that dramatic up there. There's a little bit of history behind Franco executing people up on that coast. I was like, what is going on here, you know? So I remember coming back going, wow, but I had no idea it was going to end up... This Toby's thing was going up like this, and I was no idea that today was going to end up with a drama and a Coast Guard and all that. So, the first one and today are the standouts. There's nothing in between. There's a lot in between, but there hasn't been two that stick out like today. So it's not worth trying to match them.
But you're someone that, you know, kind of flips between being the kind of health superhero and somebody who's not, you know, really partaking in the health train at all. I mean, what is it that kind of, you know, Toby's obviously kind of championing sort of a more healthy existence on the island, which I think is something that this island needs, to give people a reminder that kind of exists here in this environment.
It's not just, I don't know if it's just the retox, the detox, as we call it, and it's not just the health thing. I think it's the exploring thing that people get. You know, he's got... Some of the biggest footballers in the world have walked with him last year because they want to see the island. So I think he doesn't try and push the whole wellness, health thing. It's come and do what you want to do and make the most out. I think that's a good... Make the most out of what we do in the way we do it. You know, I go through stages of, you know... I don't go to clubs anymore. I just don't. But... It's easy for me to stop drinking in the winter and do a million walks. And, of course, the nearer you get to April and you're back out socialising at events, and that's hard. So you have to yin and yang it and try and make sure you do these things, you know. And then when you do them, you think, why didn't I do you know, I can go 5-6 months and not walk with Toby. And then when you do, you mean, why didn't I do that? Do you know what I mean? Because each one's, you know, a different experience.
So I'm here with Tim Cairns, a walking Ibiza guide at the very special anniversary 10th lunch at Cairns It Is. How are you doing?
Great. Having great fun. I've had a fantastic walk this morning with a really nice group of people.
Whereabouts did you go?
We went to Atlantis and walked down to Atlantis, went for a swim, and then walked back up again, and then went over and had a look at Es Vedrà. And everybody was absolutely had a fantastic time. And then we came back over here for lunch.
What is it about Atlantis? I mean, it's just one of those spots on the island that's just a little bit special.
Oh, it's a funky place that the hippies, smoking too much, decided to call Atlantis, and it became that way. Obviously, the real name is, just for the sake of in history and for the Ibizencos, it's called Sa Pedrera, which means the quarry of stone, and that's where they mine the stones which they use for the fortress of the walls of Ibiza. And so having taken away the stones, it's made these great sort of caves and holes in the rocks, and it looks very artistic now because it's very clean cut.
What's so special about Atlantis?
It's a very a special place. I mean, it was named Atlantis mostly, they say, by the hippies that went there and became a funky place to go and hang out and so on. And it is physically a very interesting place because of the stone that was taken from there and the holes in the rock and the gaps that are in the rocks left by the stone taken away makes it look like almost like a work of art. And so it's a very funky place. People go down there and listen to music and camp out sometimes, spend the night, and, you know, as people do. And it's a quiet place. You can get away. Well, everybody knows where it is now, but you could get away before. And it's a great place for a swim.
And also take some magic mushrooms. I've seen there's a new mural on the wall there now, down there.
Well, yeah. They're actually on a cave just up from the bay itself. There was an ancient mural, or ancient. It was from the 70s, painted by a Japanese artist. Very intricate, very beautiful, very, very stunning, very beautiful. Took a long time to do, but unfortunately people through time have not respected it and sprayed over, changed it, modified it, and done all kinds of things. But yeah, it's a cool place. I mean, you go down there and you feel really nice. It's the sea is crystal clear down there, and it's very nice.
How do you feel working for Walking Ibiza, doing something that obviously probably doesn't feel like work?
Well, you just you said it, of course. I mean, you know, we get to go walking all over the island, take a bunch of people, talk to them about history, because we're well trained. We work hard to, and Toby, believe me, makes sure that we all get correct training, both medically, historically, about herbs and all kinds of things. So when we take a group out, they get all kinds of information from us, you know, and they go away with having not just a little stroll in the forest or along the rocks and so on, and then back home. They actually bring back some stuff in their minds as well. So hopefully it's a memorable thing. I get to go out and do it, and they pay me for it. So, hey, you know, I'm not complaining.
I didn't want to laugh there where you were talking about the education that Toby gives in the ancient herbs of the island. Having been on the very first Around the Island walk, I'm very familiar with Toby's extreme wisdom when it comes to herbs.
Okay. I'm not going to go into details, but no. The interesting thing is that if you take the same group and you change the guide, you're going to get a different walk each time. So, because each guide is passionate about different things and knows different things. In my case, I came to the island when I was a year old. So my first language was Ibizenco, and then English later on, and I grew up, and now I'm back. I went away, and my parents built a house here 50 years ago, etc., and now I'm back staying because my mum is now 92, and I've been here for 10 years consecutively, and I love living here. I've wanted to come back and live here all my life. So being a guide and talking to people about Ibiza is great fun.
There's just clearly, like, you know, no better job in the world than working for a company which has kind of raised the vibration of the island and actually painted it as a place where, you know, tourism isn't just about one thing anymore. There's many other healthy, beautiful pursuits, and immersing in nature is just probably not, you know, what Ibiza is known for at the top of the list of tourist activities. So, you know, it's amazing what's been created in 10 years on this island.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I think Toby has also done it in the right way. He's not actually, it wasn't, from what I understand, it wasn't planned. Everything just sort of grew by itself in a very organic way. The company grew all along. But he treats the guides very well. The guides enjoy working for him, working for Walking Ibiza. And I think all of that transmits to the people that we take for walks.
I love being able to guide the short and sweet walks and being part of the Walking Ibiza guides team. Sometimes when we're on guides outings and we're sitting around a table having lunch or drinks, I look around the table at everyone and think how very lucky I am to be working with such a fabulous group of people. It really lifts my heart. And the boss ain't bad either. Magic moment? Well, that has to be when I crossed the finishing line after completing the ATI into 2017. Usually I'm the one holding the finish line balloons, and it never fails to choke me up when I see all the hikers cross it, because I just know what they've all been through and what they've achieved. So thank you, Walking Ibiza, for giving me the opportunity to be a part of it. Really grateful for that.
So, Toby Clark, day two. How are you feeling?
I'm very good, just managing with the regulations and people numbers, which is always fun at the moment.
Always fun.
Vamos! It's very interesting at the moment with numbers because we're only allowed 10 people in a group. So we have to have lots of guides and split the groups up. So that's what we're trying to do this morning.
Fun and games. How are you feeling to be the Pied Piper for a second day in a row with another... How many walks unfolding today?
We've got 4 walks happening today. So all over the island, walks starting in different locations and different styles of walk. And they're all setting off around now, which is rather beautiful to think of all those people walking all over the island. And then we're all coming together for lunch later on, which will be very nice.
Round two,
yes.
Are you feeling particularly special after last night's extravaganza?
Particularly special? I don't know. No, am I feeling special? It was just really nice, and lots of people have actually been sending in lovely comments, who even came on the walk yesterday. I had a lovely comment this morning, how the coming on the walks makes them feel lovely and warm and like they're really part of a lovely group of people. So it's nice to get confirmation that I'm doing the right thing and people still come and enjoy it. That's the main thing. That's the reason why I do it.
What's in store for us today?
We're actually on now the original pilgrim's route that takes us up to the shrine of Tanit. So Tanit is the island goddess, and this is what people would have been doing for thousands of years. They would have been walking up to the shrine where they worshipped her, and to give an offering. So give a blessing or an offering to whatever they want. Tanit is very famous for being the goddess of fertility. So if you want to have a little baby, you can make an offering, Joe, and you might be lucky.
Thanks for that, Toby. Yes, I'll bear it in mind. See if I can find something to pick up on route. What about you? More babies?
No. Well, it's funny. I'm just about to literally become a granddad. So maybe I will wish for a safe journey for my daughter's baby. And the first due date is actually today. So yesterday we had a sea rescue by the Coast Guard to rescue someone who wasn't very well. And today maybe we have a baby coming at lunch. You never know.
Always drama where you're involved, Toby Clark.
Well, normally not. Normally it's a nice, gentle walk. And we literally hardly ever have accidents or things that happen. But yesterday was, the first ever sea rescue we've had to do. And it all worked out okay. Everyone's safe. So maybe today I'm looking for a nice, calm day.
So as we go through
the baby can wait.
They all heard the wait bit and thought, stop.
I think. The terrible acoustics in the tunnel.
Yeah. Trying to get a bit of acoustic on my voice there.
I was. A little bit of reverberation. Are we going into the cave today?
Yes. I'm very lucky to know the guy who has the key holder. So he is waiting for us at the moment to arrive, and then He will open up the cave and we can enter inside, which is rather nice.
How did you swing that one?
The key holder changed last year, and it turned out that it's now a friend that I've known for about 7-8 years, back from the Healing Ibiza days. So when I went up there one day, I was like, Juan, fantastic, you are here. And now he only lives around the corner, so he's very happy to pop out, and if I give him a little tip, he's very pleased.
Wow. Is that a monetary tip, or a sort of a wash your hands after you've been to the toilet?
Definitely monetary on this occasion. Yeah. So, yeah, very nice.
And, I mean, you know, obviously everyone talks about Tanit being the goddess that presides over the whole island. You know, obviously she's the queen of fertility. But, you know, what else is she kind of known for?
Tanit, there's actually lots of arguments that go on as to the true origin. Well, not the origin, but the worshipping that people would have done for Tanit. And it can get very confusing depending who you talk to. But my interpretation of it is that she's the goddess of fertility. So she'd protect the mother during childbirth, and up until the baby was about 1 year old, they would really worship Tanit and ask for protection for that. And then she's also the goddess of war, because it was a time when war was going on all over the Mediterranean, so they wanted a goddess to protect them during war. And also, because lots of people died back then, she's the goddess of death. So the sort of full journey.
Right.
So that's what she is in my interpretation, but depends who you speak to, depends what book you read. There's various interpretations of it.
And why is the cave supposed to be this kind of like place of worship for her?
They found very actual little evidence of the reason for these caves. The only evidence they found that it was Tanit. No, so maybe I'll start back then. They found a plaque in the cave to the god of healing, Eshmun. So they thought, they were coming here to worship the god of healing. But then under the pile that they thought was just a load of earth, they started digging and they found, I think, nearly 3,000 little busts of Tanit. And they were beautifully painted and in gold and all sorts of things like that. So then they thought, well, it must have been a pilgrimage place where people would come and give an offering. There'd be like a street sellers selling little busts of Tanit. Mm-hmm. So you'd buy, just like people do now when they go to India or wherever to do a pilgrimage, and they would buy a little bust, put all their energy and wishes into it, and then present it into the cave as an offering to Tanit. So that's why they think it must have been an offering to Tanit, unless that's where they made the busts and those are all the ones that were no good and they just chucked them in the cave. You never know, see?
It makes a good story though, doesn't it, Toby?
It does, yes, indeed. We like good stories.
We do, definitely. It's always good to have a little bit of history. So after we've left the cave, we've done the whole kind of shrinage and had a little chant. Are you going to leave some chanting, bit of singing in the cave?
I might leave that to you if you want. My voice, as you might have seen yesterday at the lunch with me singing, is not the best. So maybe you'd like to do that one, Jo.
I would absolutely love to. That would be a sacred way to celebrate the 10th birthday. Maybe it could just be a giant happy birthday. But
that would be very good. It would sound rather wonderful in the cave as well. Great idea.
I think I could probably manage that. Thank you. the walk, you were saying, is through an ancient pilgrimage, also an ancient track.
Yeah, I've only found it this summer when I was looking for a shorter version of this route. And it's basically, all I can fathom with it, it must have been before they had lots of paths crisscrossing the island, before they had trucks and cars and things. And it's an old path that would have crisscrossed the island. And this one would have been used by people to go fishing. So we actually passed a very old farmhouse. And then it would have been the path from the farmhouse going down for them to go fishing by the sea. And it weaves through the forest. And it's sort of been lost in a few places and fallen trees. So it's a really beautiful little route through the forest.
So I'm here with Mr. Howard Boyle from Ibiza Unlocked. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
How was the walk today?
It was good. It was very entertaining.
Tell me something about, you know, this is not the first time we've met on one of these walks. What is it about these walks that's so special?
Do you know what? It's a good opportunity to meet people when you're seeing some beautiful places on the island, some of the paths that you go down. Toby knows all these lovely routes. You know, there's a beauty to this island that, yeah, there's nowhere else like it in the world. And thank God for Toby and Walking Ibiza for showing us the real side of the island. And yeah, as I say, you get to meet people as well. That's always good. All weird and wonderful walks of life that you wouldn't normally meet in a bar or a club. So yeah.
You're talking about your love life again. Always on the prowl.
Well, I'm actually back on the market, so yeah, just putting that out there.
That's the only reason you wanted to come on this podcast, wasn't it?
Just it's going to be a long winter, Joe. It's going to be a long winter.
But there is something very special about the people you meet on Toby's walks. It attracts a certain type of person, as we've been sort of experiencing from his wonderful speech there.
Yes, it does attract all sorts of walks of life. I mean, we have one guy here, he's a Dutch guy, he's like the biggest manufacturer of pickled onions, of all things, in Holland. So, you know, you get talking to guys like that and other people that do retreats, other people, artists, architects, all sorts of weird and wonderful people, and you have some really in-depth conversations while you're walking through beautiful countryside and scenery. Can't beat it, really.
Today is also a very, very special day,
yes.
And we both forgot about it.
Oh, my God,
it's our wedding anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Ah. Yay. Happy anniversary, guys.
Yeah, well, you obviously totally forgotten as well.
How long?
16 years.
16 years.
And we both forgot.
No, it's not.
It
have a Google Calendar alarm. Anniversary popped up.
No, but we didn't forget a few days ago because of Walking Ibiza. Usually every year on the 10th, which is our wedding anniversary, it has to be hijacked by Walking Ibiza into part of the ATI around the island.
So normally, the first day, we actually
have it at a different day, and we've already decided that it's going to be on Monday.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit like, yes, this is our real anniversary. It's not that we've forgotten, it's just that
Monday is actually on your anniversary
for the...
It just happened that way. And now every year I'm normally always around the island on our anniversary.
So and how ironic that I was summoned here by a little sheepdog phrase. Come by, come by.
Only the Welsh people understand that one.
Better than a lapdog.
Yeah, that is true, actually. Yeah. Sheepdog's better than a lapdog,
So happy anniversary.
Okay. Well done, guys.
There we go. 16 years, Casey.
How's it been, Belinda?
Woof, it's had its challenges, ups and downs. He's not easy to live with.
Can that go on the podcast?
Absolutely.
Perfect. That was a very beautiful song that you sang him earlier.
Oh, thank you. That's my dedication of love.
Talis Avel Telegramos Anel O Postalis Avel Telegramos Anel Sameles Geneva O Bale Chingera Chingera Jaioli, Jaioli, Jaioli. Andre Pash La Re La Sambeles Geneva O Bale Chingera Chingera Jaioli Jaioli, Jaioli, Andre Pash La.
Beautiful. Thank you. Gorgeous. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Private little serenade. Belinda Clark, Toby's wife. Very beautiful.
Well, what was the song called? Did you write it especially, or is it something you learned?
I learned it at a workshop here on Ibiza, and it's a very, very old Slovakian folklore song.
I did wonder, actually. It did sound, obviously, not from these lands.
No, and definitely not English, but it's truly emotional, and... very heart opening.
Well, it was pretty spectacular, I think, to have that little unexpected surprise in the cave. Did Toby know that was coming?
He didn't, no. So it was a surprise, and thank you very much for saying that, Joe.
And he didn't know it was your anniversary either.
No, he has no idea. Does he know what day it is? Does he know what's happening?
He knows it's the birthday party of
walking Ibiza. Not that he's all consumed by walking Ibiza at all.
But how does it feel to be a sort of a walking widow?
A walking widow, yes. Oh, I'm used to it by now. You know, it's quite interesting because that actually was how our relationship started. I was a work widow to start with. Toby was literally addicted to his work, and it took a little while to get used to, but then it's part of my life with him. And then now I understand, because now I'm a walking widow, and sometimes, occasionally, I will go with him, but most of the time he's out walking on his own or with clients.
But isn't that better than when he was sitting at a computer all day and out getting boozy with his kind of marketing and sales friends?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's like incredible. I've never known anybody before I met Toby who could drink so much with his customers and clients and then have like 2 or 3 hours sleep, wake up early in the morning and function again. And I was like, who is this man?
He's a professional. That's what he is.
Exactly. Yeah, a professional drinker. But obviously that's part of his work.
I wish he'd actually shared that with me before, Belinda. It would have explained quite a lot of things.
But he can't do it now. Thank God he can't.
God love him, he still tries though.
He does try, but now it's just a few drinks and he falls over.
Yeah, we did have a couple of beers yesterday to celebrate the 10th anniversary, and I was feeling particularly special this morning, like I normally do when I go out drinking with Toby Clark, because as you say, he can drink a lot more and he can function on a lot less sleep.
Yeah, but not really now, actually. Although, having said that, do you know what? He's the only person that I've ever met who I've... never witnessed. He's never had a hangover. And if you ask him, he'll say, of course I have hangovers, but he has no idea what a hangover is.
He just doesn't talk about them.
No, I'm married to him. I'm with him. He has no idea what a hangover is. The once in our nearly 19 years together has he ever been sick on alcohol. Once.
So you met Toby when he was 31?
Yeah, early 30s, yeah.
Amazing, because he has just turned 50.
He has indeed, the big 5-0.
Seeing as this is the first time I've actually had the pleasure of getting you to talk, I just wanted to make it interesting.
Very interesting, yes, of keeping us on the very, very straight and narrow, very higgledy-piggledy rocky place of almost like breaking our necks, yes.
Well, it's kind of single file. It's like one of those kind of woodland walks that you used to do when you were back at school.
Yeah, although I feel a little bit like the pack donkey, the mule.
What have you got on board, Belinda? Any good snacks?
Well, I do have a couple of snacks. I have a bottle of water. I have a jumper. I have, strangely, jellyfish sting cream.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yes, as we're walking through the forest, it's a great idea.
Always be prepared or prepare to fail. I think that's what my old boss used to say to me when I was in the newsroom in London.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a great saying.
And what would you say has kept Toby sort of, walking for 10 whole years in the kind of way that he has? We know that we had a little backer operation along the way, but what would you say his sort of secret to managing to keep going for this length of time, for a whole decade, has been, apart from your wonderful cooking?
Well, that's very interesting. So my ego, Joe, would say me, of course. My guidance, my wisdom, my support, my dedication to my husband, absolutely. And then my soul self would actually say, you know what? He's found his purpose. He's found his dharma. Because when I met him, he was a brilliant salesman, you know, sales director.
Is that how he won you over?
Yeah, he has the gift of the gab. He's a very charming,
I haven't noticed.
Charming man, but he literally lacked any kind of purpose, direction, and he would always joke, like, I still, you know, I'm like in my 30s, I've got no idea what I want to do with my life. At his 40th birthday, he said exactly the same. He was like, I'm 40, thank you very much for coming, because we had a nice party. And he's like, I've got no idea what I want to do with my life. And then very shortly afterwards... he then walked around the whole of Ibiza. And
with 1 euro.
Yeah, with 1 euro. Yeah.
Let's not forget that.
Yeah, exactly. And Cosmo. And he found his dharma. He found his purpose. And so that is the secret. Absolutely.
And what's the change that you've seen in Toby over 10 years since he found his purpose? What difference has that made in the man?
You know what? He's become really authentic. So he's more balanced. He's not so much just all in his masculine doing. There's still a lot of that because he's a leader and just the very nature of who he is. But he's become more into his feminine, very much authentic, nice balance of his masculine and feminine, approaches things differently to how he was. Because believe it or not, he did actually used to be a bit of a bull in a china shop.
No way. And do you think that's what's kept Toby obviously doing these crazy walks and just kind of basically taking a few risks and gambles along the way to kind of keep things interesting for people?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because literally that is his masculine side of a little bit of risk. Yeah, come on. Let's go through this forest here. I'm not quite sure where I'm going, but you know what? It'll be fine. It'll be fine. And then... also, the balance of the feminine, of the actual being, rather than just doing all the time.
And that faithful old word that he always likes to throw in is trust.
Amazing.
Amazing trust.
Amazing trust. Trust and amazing.
Trust in the amazingness of trust.
Yeah, but actually, I think that's great because perfectly balanced. Let's look at this because obviously that's my job, you know, to do with feminine empowerment. So it's like, okay, that's the masculine word, amazing. And the feminine word is trust. So he's actually really quite balanced nowadays. That's what I would say in the past 10 years. He's become a much more balanced, authentic person.
Amen to that.
Hallelujah.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
So happy birthday to Mr. Walkies, Toby Clark from Walking Ibiza. 10th anniversary. We've just come out of a beautiful lunch. I think that's something to toast.
Absolutely. A big fat cheers to myself and to the company that is Walking Ibiza, because we are 10 years old almost to the day. Today was the day 10 years ago that I was getting ready to set off around the island with my infamous €1. I've got to mention it again, Joe. €1.
I don't think we're ever going to hear the end to that particular tale. You know, we all know how you set off walking around the island in those very early days with €1. And I think, you know, what is the biggest lesson you've learned over those 10 years of starting out on that journey, kind of not really knowing where it would lead?
My biggest lesson I've learned is that the first thing that comes to mind is that people are amazing. And if you give them the space, they are capable of doing incredible things, like walking around the island in 12 days, like doing a walk they thought they couldn't do. People that come along and say they're really... Señora? Perdón?
Hola.
Hola. Dos más cañas, por favor. Gracias. Got that one in. That's very important, Joan. Shouting across the streets of Santa Agnes to make sure we get two more cañas.
Very uncouth. I think we're in San Mateo, actually, Toby. Yeah. How many beers have you had?
Santa Agnes. Oh, yeah, we are. We moved. Yeah, we're San Mateo now. Finished the walk in Santa Agnes, but we're in San Mateo. Correct. I think the biggest lesson I've learned, was that your question, lesson? Yeah. Is that if you give people space, they can do amazing things. And that's what I love doing. People come on the walks and say, oh my God, I'm scared of heights. And I've got to understand what's it called when you're scared of heights?
Heightophobic.
That one, heightophobic. And I've realised that most people actually aren't. And you immediately get to realise the type of person that thinks they are. But if you give them the confidence and the space, they are not. And that's what I love doing it, and getting them to walk along a precipice that they thought they couldn't do, but they actually can. Getting them to walk 12 days around the island or do a 10-kilometre walk or whatever it is to them. You know, if you give people space, they can do it. And a walk, which is so damn simple, is such a metaphor for life in so many ways. And that's, I think, the biggest lesson I've learned.
You were saying earlier in your speech, which we heard a little bit of at the beginning of the podcast, about, you know, the actual lengths and breadths that you've gone to put people through their paces and actually get them moving to the tune of around about, possibly over 10 years, of 60,000 kilometres. Now, that is a very, very long way indeed. And sort of 230 times around the entire island. That's massive. And I think, you know, I think the one biggest accolade I could give to you is the fact that you probably changed sort of the thing that this island is most known for. And I think you were probably one of the first people that's actually started up a business that's actually focused on something really healthy. And that's just like, you know, just the simple act of walking has really changed, I think, you know, the kind of landscape of activities that people get up to in Ibiza, or people think they can get up to in Ibiza.
Yeah, I never set out to do anything particular. I just set out to start walking, and that's what's happened. But the more I've done walking right from the very early days, I've realised that Ibiza's got so much more to it than the clubbing and the partying, which I love doing. As you know, we all go out clubbing and partying a little bit still. But to show people the other side of it, and that's what's always mind-boggling to me. You know, they think there's only amnesia and privilege and all these places, but you take them outside of that and show them the crazy beauty just where we walk today. Even though we walked to this most crazy place and this guy had to be rescued by the Coast Guard, but if you're going to get rescued somewhere, that's the place to get rescued, and a beautiful place on Ibiza.
I mean, he's going to be talking about today, your 10th anniversary, for the rest of his life, the day he got helicoptered off of Ibiza.
Not quite helicoptered.
Sorry, I wasn't there. I missed that bit.
Yeah, so no, by the Coast Guard, I had to come around and rescue him. But yeah, if you're going to get rescued somewhere, why not feel very faint and lightheaded and not be able to walk anymore? So we have to use all the emergency things we had in place. And they actually worked, which I was quite impressed with. So our emergency procedure worked, and we managed to get Dan rescued off the rocks where we'd stopped for a swim. And honestly, the videos are fucking amazing. The videos of him being rescued, the boat comes in, he gets on the boat and goes off. It was the most crystal clear, beautiful waters, blue skies, big, massive cliffs along the west coast of Ibiza. And it's made a great video.
As I said, that could be for Walking Ibiza, the movie that's been coming for a long time now.
yeah, I'm still up for that movie. It takes a step closer every time I have a group together. Still waiting for someone to come and fund it. I want to do it properly. So if anyone wants to fund a Walking Ibiza movie about the 12-day walk around the island, the life-changing experience people have, then please contact me. Yeah.
I mean, is that the first time that somebody has been rescued on your watch?
Yeah, it's never happened before, and it's rather ironic that it was on the 10th anniversary walk that I was doing. I was all happy about doing a quick three-hour walk. Then we get to the restaurant, have a few beers, meal, speech, bit of live music by Nell, and we have a great afternoon. And wow, suddenly we got down there, and suddenly the father was saying to me, Toby, what's wrong with Dan? And I went over and it's like, oh my God, this guy's really not so good. And trying to work out what's wrong and looking on him for jellyfish stings to see if he'd been stung by a jellyfish. Was he going into anaphylactic shock? Trying to remember all my first aid training. Thinking, shit, what am I doing? Patrick was with me as well, another guide that guides for us, saying, Patrick, any ideas what we should do? Sort of getting two people on the case. And I really didn't know what to do. There was no signs of anything physical on his body. His father was starting to get quite panicky. And then luckily he started to come around a little bit, but it was still like we were in the middle of absolutely nowhere, no phone signal. Beers have just arrived. Muchas gracias. Thank you. Thank you. And yeah, and at the beginning I wasn't panicky because I was thinking, hey, this guy's going to come around and be all right. Then he said about a pain on the back of his neck, and I was looking for jellyfish stings or some other sting or an insect sting or something like that. You ask all the questions that you're told to in first aid. You know, are you on any medication? Did you have a big night out? Have you taken MDMA? Have you done all this sort of stuff? Because people do that on walks quite often. Some people smoke a joint on a walk sometimes. But none of all this was coming up negative. The father's going, no, he's really healthy and everything else. And then, yeah, I was like, shit, we are in the middle of nowhere. What the hell do I do? So it was a little bit of a scary moment for me there. But never happened before on a walk. Never.
It was a good moment for a sip of beer.
Cheers again.
Cheers. I think the other thing about Bill's Gate, which you very kindly actually invited me on and I sadly didn't make.
Bill's Paradise.
At the Birds of Paradise. Bird's Paradise.
Bill's Paradise. Bill.
Bill. Who's Bill?
The actual cove is called Guillermo, which is Ibithink for William, short for Bill.
Ah, okay, fine.
So Bill's Paradise.
Do we know who Bill is?
A very ironic or strange thing happened is that Tim, one of my guides, got shown the walk by a guy called Bill. So Tim started calling the walk Bill's Paradise. And then it was only literally about 2 months ago that I looked on a map and saw it's called Guillermo, which is Ibithink for William. So I ring up Tim and go, Tim, the bay's called Bill's Cove. And he's going, yeah, I know. I go, yeah, but the guy that showed it to you is also called Bill. He goes, yeah, I know. So he wasn't fazed by it at all, but I thought it was an amazing moment, an epiphany. But that's why it's called Bill's Paradise, for two reasons. So it's called the Cove of Bill, and also it was shown to us by a guy called Bill.
Super, super sad to have missed that today, and definitely you're going to have to take me there again. But what is so special? Why did you choose that for the 10th anniversary walk before we go into what actually unfolded there today?
It's been a really, really, really favourite walk of this year. We're in the year of COVID, the first year 2019. If you listen to it in 2024 and it's still going on, please finish it. Yeah, and I got shown the walk only the back end of last year and I started doing it. And when I first did the walk, I just went, wow. This has everything a walk needs to have. It has an amazing start to it. You walk through the Valley of Santa Ynez or Agnes, depending what language you're speaking. Yeah. Then you drop down into this beautiful little cove which has boathouses in it where the fishermen used to go and fish. They're not going down to fish anymore, or there's a few boathouses there, but not much fishing going on. And then that's as far as we got today. But we normally then carry on. And they managed to join up these two walks together. And it's quite a trek out of it down this sort of homemade path, if you like, that we managed to join two walks together. And then you end up in this small village, this lost village in the middle of nowhere. And there's even a spring. So you walk through these canes and you have to duck right down to really, really low. And then you come up and there's this natural water flowing out of the rock.
It sounds pretty spectacular. And now I'm even more sad that I didn't make it. But Yeah, I mean, the one thing I think that's cropped up in many of the conversations I've had today about why it is that your walks are special, because there are people that have cropped up over the years since you started this business who have obviously done their own, like, sort of splinter walks, I believe someone described them as. And, you know, the thing is, and this is precisely why I like the fact that you're kind of describing the fact that you're a little bit unfazed, and this has never happened to you before, and nor should it ever happen to you, but it's, you know, you don't really back away from things that are a little bit challenging or a little bit scary, or maybe other people would be like, ooh, it's probably not a good idea to take people there. And that's what's the magic, because, you know, when you do conquer those things and when you do go to those places and you do, you know, get to the top of the Cave of Light and gaze down, like, even I was just tempted to go, yeah, fuck it, I'm just going to jump in there, like, because it's, you know, you just kind of inspire that feeling in other people, I think, to be a little bit more fearless. And I think particularly in this moment in time in life, that's exactly what we all need, and we need to just throw that kind of fear factor away and step in a little bit more into the kind of, like, the unknown.
Yeah, I think people just need to get out there more now, and it's, I still have to pinch myself or slap myself around my face, or what I actually feel like doing is slapping other people around their faces, of people that are scared at the moment of going out walking with us. Well, going out walk by yourself, I'm not saying walk with our groups, but people that are scared of going out walking in nature. And you see these people walking down the beach with a face mask on, you just, like, feel like going up and slapping around the face and going, you're in nature, you know. And the people that walk around in cars wearing a mask by themselves, they deserve to be go to another level, but we're not going to go there. But it's the best place we can be, you know. We're in nature, everyone's distance naturally because you're walking a couple of meters apart and you're breathing in the beautiful, most fresh air in the world. You're getting positive energy. And for me, that's just what it needs. You know, we don't need to be stuck in our houses in fear and everything. And to be able to take people to those places and to get their eye, you see their eyes open up and go, oh my God. And honestly, when we arrived at the place before the guy got rescued, the sun was coming down onto that sea and it's like this most beautiful grey blue colour. And you just want to jump in it. It's just inviting, and the people that start out the walk and go, I'm going, you're going to go swimming? They go, oh no, I don't go swimming in the sea because I have to take my clothes off and have to walk up with salty water on my body and that might kill me. And then they get down there and they actually go, Toby, I'm going to go in. You know, and they take their clothes off, and even some of them are going butt naked, and I'm like, wow, okay. You know, the inspiration that it takes for people to do that, for me, that's what's so beautiful. And to get someone out of their home, their office, wherever they are, and to go, wow, when they get back at the end of the day and they've just had the most incredible experience and they're tweeting and WhatsApping and all their pictures to their mates, you know, that's what's incredible. You know, look where I've been today and look how great I feel. First memorable walk was with Charlie Chester and Mitch, and what a memorable walk that was. And the 10th anniversary walk, also a rather memorable walk. So pretty crazy day.
Basically, don't take those boys walking anymore.
Well, I think they should never come on a walk with anyone again. I'll take them on private walks.
I mean, yeah, it's obviously not without event. Sometimes these particular excursions that you know, are quite fearless, that you take people on, particularly that peninsula walk, as you said, in San Vicente, out towards the wreck of a, is it a church?
Lighthouse. Yeah, that one, I did that a few times by myself, and then I thought, I don't know if you've ever noticed, I never actually label any walks as hard, because if I label a walk as a hard walk, no one turns up. So I always label walks as medium, medium, plus, 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 but I never actually say hard. But I thought, okay, if I label this walk as a hard walk, then it put off the people that might not be up for it. And yeah, there's a few tricky bits on it, but everyone's capable of doing it, and we really do make it sound really, really, really scary. So it puts most people off, but the people that come get amazing things out of it. Just beautiful. It's an amazing location. And just amazing experience, you know, to walk along an old path that was there since 1840. A lot of it's gone in the sea, but you have to make your sort of jumps across the path that's missing. And you get there and it's just like, my God, this has been here. It was built in 1840 and it's still there. The building is still there. The lighthouse is gone. But what an amazing experience. And that's what we like to do. Not all of our walks are like that, but we like to push a few people on some walks, yeah.
What's that, you know? What would you say that is? Is that something about you that makes you want to kind of encourage people? Or what is it about that kind of adventurous side of the walks? Because, you know, you're called Walking Ibiza, but I think after the Around the Island, I kind of wanted to rename your company Climbing Ibiza, because we did a lot of mountain climbing and rock climbing and hanging and, yep. You know, it was an adventure. I mean, there was, you know, we had 15 kilos on our backs in the very first...
6 o'clock.
Ding dong.
Ding dong, 6 o'clock. Time for another drink.
Definitely time for some more chupitos. Yeah. I think, you know, it's... Yeah, there is never a dull moment, but, you know, that's because of you. You know, you are the one that basically decides everything and where these people are going and how far and how hard and how deep you're going to go into that adventure. And I think, you know, that is obviously part of your personality.
Yeah, I do like a bit of adventure. I would have said in my previous life I didn't. I was quite a safe guy and I wouldn't go off and do crazy things. But yeah, I do like a bit of adventure. And I think that if I maybe do, when I go out on a walk by myself with the guides, and we're actually doing a walk on Tuesday, and we're being shown it by someone who's called it the hardest walk on Ibiza, down to Sestoretas. If you know where it is, you know where it is. And I'm a bit like, ooh, he's calling it the hardest walk. And this guy is a Swiss guy, super, super fit. And I'm going, oh, can I actually do that? But yeah, I'm up for the challenge. So I do like a bit of adventure, absolutely. And I think that if you push a few people in the right way and in a nice, gentle way, you push people a little bit further out their boundaries, then they learn so much and they become such a better person as well. And that's why I maybe like pushing people maybe a little bit more than they would think they might get on some walks. But especially the Friday walks, I like to, yeah, maybe go, come on, you can do it. And when they do it, they are smiling at the end of the walk. They're just like the most happy, most beautiful people at the end of the walk. And that's what it's about. You know, it's about, why should you stay in your boundaries all the time? You know, go outside your boundaries, get outside your comfort zone a little bit, and then you grow and grow and grow. If you just stay inside your boundaries all the time and don't do any adventure or don't push yourself a little bit, you're just going to grow old boring, you know? So grow old with excitement and happiness. And that's what I love doing with people.
I think, you know, that's obviously what creates those magical lunches and get-togethers that happen at the end of those walks. At the end of the day on the Round the Island walk, like every day I woke up, I was like, yeah, never gonna drink ever again in my entire lifetime. And by evening I was like, give me a beer. And you know, you go through so much in a day on that Around the Island. It is, you know, it's a prerequisite. It's gonna happen. And they're celebratory. I got through another day of war when I never thought I could walk another step when I wake up in the morning. And you kind of somehow inspire people to carry on. That's you know, maybe you should have been in the army.
No, because I don't believe in the army. But there you go. I don't. Yeah, I, when you say that, I'm like, do I inspire people that way? Would people follow me off a cliff if I walked off a cliff? I don't know.
Well, you've got, you know, you crack the old whip pretty hard. Like, to be honest, on the Around the Island, there was several occasions where I wanted to murder you. Like, it was just like, no, that is not humanly possible, Toby Clark. So maybe the SAS then, if not the army.
I have actually read a few books of people who have been in the SAS, and they do actually get my adrenaline going and thinking, wow, that'd be amazing, but I'm way too old to do it now. You know, you need to be 20 and crazy and slightly mad to do the SAS. But people do it. But when I read the books, I do actually get adrenaline flowing. So maybe that's a little bit about what I love doing. But in my little way, you know, I'm not a crazy guy. I don't take unnecessary risks. And I know lots of people who do take really unnecessary risks.
It's turned into Jonathan Woss.
I stopped because of that.
Oh, no. It's because you said I take unnecessary whisks.
No.
I'm just making a Victoria sponge on the way around.
The group that was left when we were down being rescued, of course, a few people went off in the boat being rescued by the Coast Guard, and I thought, well, the rest of us could actually carry on doing the walk that we started out to do. But there was a slightly tricky bit in the walk. You've got to climb up a bit of a precipice, and I thought, no, okay, one event in a day, so we went back the same way we'd come. But to carry on that walk is mind-blowingly beautiful. Just one of the most beautiful places on Ibiza. Very wonderful.
Well, I'm pretty excited because I feel like, although I missed out today and things didn't go quite according to plan on your actual walk, you are starting a very exciting new thing this very weekend on Saturday, which is only, what, less than a week away, that you're going to actually do the whole Round the Island walk every weekend.
Yeah, so what I thought I'd do, this year has been a strange year for everyone. And we normally literally tomorrow, we'd be setting off 12 days walking around the island. But what I thought this year, because we can't do the 12 days around the island walk, is why not make it still possible? And we've broken the 12-day around the island into a 10-day, 10 stages around the island. Each Saturday, starting the 17th of October, we're going to do 1/10 stage of the round the island walk. So we do every Saturday, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, we do a stage of it, finishing 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it means that everyone can do it. You know, you're sleeping in a bed the night before, no tents involved, super energized from the day before, super energized, and you can sleep when you get home. And you just have a beautiful experience of doing every Saturday 1/10 stage of the Round the Island. And I thought, what a beautiful way to do it. It's a 10th anniversary, 10 stages, and what a lovely way to celebrate this great 10 years that we've had and to continue it on. Every year, I honestly, if I could sell a ticket to every person that said they would do the 12-day Round the Island adventure, I'd be a very wealthy man now, because so many people want to do it, but they just don't sign up for it for various reasons, time and space and money and family and all sorts of reasons. But this is a way for people on the island to be able to complete the whole coastal walk of the island over 10 Saturdays, only €40 per Saturday, and it also includes getting a minibus back to the start point, because of course they're all one-way walks. And I think it's a beautiful thing that people can do in this environment at the moment, and what a great present to give to yourself, you know, to walk around the island, get healthy, get super fit, and to enjoy this beautiful island.
And I think that sounds absolutely glorious and a great way to celebrate what has been a year where you can't do the Around the Island. Of course, the very last episode of The Reset Rebel was myself and the wonderful Simon Reed traversing and circumferencing or circumnavigating, great word, the island together on a boat in one day, which was adventurous and momentous. But I think, you know, I have one last question to finish today's podcast. Like, what... You know, you've been going for 10 years. I feel like you've really, as I said before, you know, had a greatly positive influence on changing the game in terms of what Ibiza is known for. So what would you like to achieve in the next 10 years?
Wow, big question. I think for me, I've said already that I've now walked around the entire coastline of Ibiza on €1. I've walked around Formentera without eating. I've walked around Menorca normally. And my next goal is to walk around Mallorca, the big one. I think it's about 1,000 kilometres and will probably take about a month. And really what I just want to carry on, if I'm still here in 10 years' time, which I bloody hope I am, what I just want to have done is touched people's lives again. Just to take as many people again on walks, to take the average Joe Bloggs, the famous people I take walking. I've taken some amazingly big famous people walking. And just to touch people's lives with what Ibiza can offer, you know, and to break out the mold of Ibiza's this image that we have because of the media, and just to put it into perspective that there is a beautiful, beautiful side of Ibiza, and I come back to the yin and yang, you know, the one side of it is the clubbing and the drugs and the ketamine and all that stuff, and the other side is this beautiful nature. And when we're sat in this little village at the moment, having a little chat here, the sun's going down, the church bells were ringing behind us, and just what a beautiful, blessed island we're on. You know, we are just blessed to be here, and I want other people to touch into that blessed feeling that we have. Adios.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Amazing chatting to you, Joe. I always love you. Actually, whenever I chat to you, you always bring up just great memories and reasons why I'm doing what I'm doing. Because you ask the right questions, and I love that when I sit and chat to you, and thank you for doing that.
Well, thank you for showing people some magical, intricate little spots on this island that would never be discovered without your intrepid little explorer, Christopher Columbusness.
I will keep exploring and keep showing people these amazing places, because that's what I just love doing. You know, many people search, and it's really trendy at the moment, to find your passion. And I am blessed to have found my passion, maybe not 10 years ago, but 6 or 7 years ago. And I'm doing what I love doing. I love taking people walking. Whenever I'm driving to walk, I get happy. I just get happy when I'm driving to a walk. I get in a great frame of mind. And I just love doing it. And the more I'm doing it, the more I love doing it as well. It's not waning or anything. It's just getting stronger and stronger. So please keep coming walking, because that's what I want to do. Keep taking people walking. Simple.
I think we're going to finish today's 10th anniversary episode with the person who made you great. And that is, of course, always not only your wonderful, beautiful, amazing wife, Belinda, but your mother, who actually put you on this planet in the first place and also happens to be an Ibiza walking guide, a walking Ibiza guide. And, you know, she is an inspiration in, you know, so many different ways. What is it, do you think, that, you know, Sheila kind of like brought out in you as a child, or maybe that kind of exploring little encouraging way, perhaps, that she made you, you know, fascinated by nature and wanting to get out there and kind of, you know, immerse yourself and encourage other people to experience what it is to get out there and kind of like really see this island in a way that's different to other people do through their own eyes?
Wow, that's a pretty hefty question. And the first thing that came to me, and I always, these days, now I'm sort of in my 50s, I can say things that maybe don't make sense. But I actually think I brought it out in my mum. And that's the weirdest thing to actually openly say in an interview, because my mum went through two marriages, and when she then moved here, 5 years ago, she moved to Ibiza 5 years ago, and she started joining in the walks, but she was already into walking in England, and I wasn't, but I wasn't even in England, I was here. And she started joining the walks, loving the walks, and she came to you one day and said, "Toby, I think there's a market for people who want to walk maybe less than you do."
And eat cake
and have tea and coffee at the end. And I was like, "Mum, brilliant idea. Love you to bits." So love my mum to bits. And she's an inspiration to many, many people just to keep active and keep walking and keep socialising. My mum loves socialising. Any excuse for a glass of wine and she's there. In fact, ring her up now and get to come here today. She'll be here in 5 minutes. She only lives 5 minutes down the road. But yeah, I think it was that point that she actually got a bit inspired by what I was doing. So it's a bit of a twist in roles even. That she was looking and enjoying so much the walks that she thought, I can actually lead a group of people. And what a beautiful thing for your mother to decide to do in her older age, to say, I want to lead a group of people walking and give them tea and cake and coffee and tea at the end. And I was like, 100% I'm behind you, mum. So we put it out there, and my mum's had bigger walks than me. You know, she's had 50, 60, 70, 80 people on her walks, just crazy, crazy numbers. And she's got this whole beautiful friendship going on with these people that come every week, and they come out for the social side of it, also to see the beauty of Ibiza and everything else. But it's a social thing, and it's again just the simplest thing of walking. Bring people walking, get them chatting, get them in an environment that they can open up as well. Because the beautiful thing with walking is when you're walking, you're not looking at the person in the eye generally, you're looking forward, so you're more openly likely to actually chat and talk about your fears and your problems and your issues. So that created amazing connections. And my mum's made incredible relationships and friends and everything with people. So it's just the most beautiful thing. And I'm very, very impressed. And not impressed, maybe that's a bit of a weak word. But I just love my mum for her enthusiasm. And I think my mum's sort of now, she, you know, we put out these crazy walks we do with the guides. And she goes, "I want to come." I go, "But mum, you're in your 70s. You know, you can't do these anymore." And it's really difficult for a son to tell a mum that she maybe can't come on a walk. But I know my mum's got the brain of a 25-year-old, and things are changing in her body, you know, so she can't maybe do these hard walks that she did when she arrived here. I took her down Ses Balandres when she first arrived. And I took her to Spain the back end of last year, and we walked the 15,000 steps of the Moors. And actually at the end, she struggled a bit. But I love my mum for what she can do. And in the last month, she's realising what she actually is capable of doing still in her age. But to embrace that and admit it and be beautiful with it, that's what my mum's got. She's an amazing woman and inspires hundreds of people every week. So how beautiful.
And makes the best carrot cake known to man.
Only if you have the frosting on the top.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. So, Toby, thank you so much. Like, yeah, you are an inspiration. Happy, happy birthday.
Yeah, absolutely, mum. Love you loads. And I just love you, Joe. And I love all the guides and everyone that makes this possible. Everyone that comes on the walks, everyone that loves Ibiza, everyone that's doing walking. on Ibiza, whichever way they're doing it, even not with me, you know, just get out and walk and enjoy it. Love you all.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, walking Ibiza. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.